To be thankful today for such things as the Lord is pleased to teach us. I thank the Lord that He's given Brother Al the understanding of the Scriptures to be able to deal with difficult passages of Scripture and to see Christ in the midst of it, because that's really the only message that we have. You know, we're not able to tell you exactly how you ought to do everything. Some folks, they have great wisdom in this way, and they write books telling you how to do about everything. I can't tell you how to do much, but I can tell you this, and that is that Christ Jesus the Lord is the Savior of sinners. And He saveth such as be of a broken and contrite heart. And He calls men to Himself. And He saves men to the uttermost. And He is the Savior, and there is none else beside Him. And so I hope that in all that we would set forth to set before you, that message might be ring out, that it might be that only one that you hear, and that He be the only one that you give glory to. This is Psalm 125 that we're looking at, another of the Song of Degrees. Psalm 125, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Now the promises of God are sure and steadfast. And the promises of God are made to Christ. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made, not the seeds as of many, but to Christ. All of the promises of God are found in Christ. He is the epitome, and He is the repository of all the promises of God. And as such, He is the Savior of His people, because He owns the promise, belongs to Him. The Father said, ask of Me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And He has indeed gained the heathen. For He has a people, that, as we read in the book of the Revelation, He has a people out of every kindred, tribe, and tongue that surround His throne and praise Him night and day. And so He is the Savior of the world. There's not a locale on the earth. There's not a country. There's not a people that the Lord does not have a people among. Now, I don't know all of them. Neither do you. And some of the civilizations that have been in the past are no longer with us. But out of all of them, according to what Scripture says, the Lord has a people, belong to Him. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Now, you remember when the Lord told Peter that He would call his name thou art Peter, Cephas. He said, thou art a stone, thou art a rock. But he said, thou art a stone. That's what the word Cephas means. It means a stone. But he said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, there are some who take that to mean that he was speaking of Peter, that Peter was the rock. Peter was the stone. Christ is the rock. Now, when I think of that, I think about the rock of Gibraltar. And, of course, it used to be some program on TV when I was a kid that was always... They were the sponsors of some program. I remember, but I can remember seeing the rock of Gibraltar. But when I think of Christ as that rock on which he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it, I often think of that rock, because it is an iconic symbol of endurance. I don't know how long it's been there. I know the Lord made it. And it's been there as long as he wanted it to be there, and it'll be there as long as he wants it to be there. But I do know this, that when the rock of Gibraltar has crumbled into the sea and is no more, the rock of Christ will be standing. He is that one who will not be moved, and because he cannot be removed, because Christ is the embodiment of his kingdom, he cannot be removed, and all of those who are hidden in Christ cannot be removed, because he cannot be removed. And so for a man to endure, he must be in Christ. And all those who are in Christ shall be those who come to that place where they trust in the Lord, for they shall be as Mount Zion. They shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. The people of God cannot be destroyed. Job knew it. He said, though the skin worms eat my flesh, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He knew that because he trusted in the Lord. Now, how does a man come to trust in the Lord? Is that just a natural tendency of man to trust in the Lord? Now, men call on the Lord when they get into a bind, don't they? I mean, every man, I doubt there's probably anybody that hasn't at some point in time in his life called out to God in some fashion. Is that what it is to trust the Lord? No, that's just a natural reaction. That's what we call natural faith. I mean, men do have natural faith. There is such a thing as natural faith. That's not saving faith, however. I mean, men have faith in all sorts of things. People have faith that what they believe is correct. That won't do you a bit of good, because what's true is true. And if your faith is not built on that which is true, then it will fail. Because faith, the faith of God's people, is Christ. See, we're not trying to get faith. Now, we desire that the Lord might increase our faith, give us greater understanding, move us closer to him. But we cannot increase in faith in the sense that we can, by our own efforts, come closer to him. That's how men think of it, you see. Well, if I could just get more faith, if I could have more faith, I could be, you know, this, or I could do that. The Lord taught men how much faith they had when he said, if you had faith as grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Now, what was he telling them? Now, a lot of people say, well, see there? If you just increase your faith, you could cause that mountain to move into the sea. No, he was telling them, look, you don't have any. Because if he said, if you had one speck of faith, you could do that. He says, you don't have any. Because, brethren, our faith's not in our activity, but our faith is in the what the Lord has called us to trust in, which is Christ. He is our faith. And because He is our faith, that cannot be moved. You see, our faith cannot be moved. Now, men might cause me to doubt. My own flesh causes me to doubt. I find myself often in fear and trembling and all kinds of things until such time as the Lord says, hold on. I'm the one who is your faith. See, He's our trust. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed and abideth forever. Brethren, that's what we need today is the faith of Christ. Not just faith in Christ. It is good to have faith in Christ, but dear brethren, we must have the faith of Christ, that is, which is Christ and Christ alone. Not just some doctrine or something that we've heard somebody tell us, but that which is written in the tables of our heart, the fleshy tables of our heart, that which is wrought in us by the Spirit of God. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord is round about His people from henceforth forever. That's why we trust in Him. Because He is. He is as that those mountains that surrounded Jerusalem. Now, you know, when you think of the mountains, I've never been to the Grand Canyon, but I've seen pictures of it, and I'm sure that it would be a spectacle that would take your breath away when you would be there in person to see it. But, you know, when you think of Mount Everest and you think of all these different geological formations in the earth, the thought that comes into your mind is how long they've been here. They've been here ever since God made them. Now, exactly how many years that is, I'll leave that up to other people to determine. I don't have any idea how long they've been here. They've been here ever since God made them. I do know that. And I do know that He formed and fashioned them just exactly like He would have them to be. And so, as we read this and we think about that, as the mountains are around about Jerusalem, we think about the mountains as they've just always been there. I mean, I don't know of a time when the mountains hadn't been here. I know there was a time when the mountains weren't here because the Lord brought forth the mountains. But the point I'm making is that as the mountains around about Jerusalem, that is from ancient times. Now you and I are not eternal. We had a beginning. By the grace of God, we won't have an end. But you see, all flesh has an end. Men are not eternal. Men are finite creatures. They're made by God. They're creatures of a span. But those who are given eternal life live forever. What a glorious thing. But as we think about that, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord's round about His people from ancient times. See, eternity cannot be described by men. The only way that you can describe eternity is in the context of God Himself. He said, I am. He inhabiteth eternity. He dwells in the light to which no man can approach. That is eternity. See, you and I cannot really comprehend the eternal nature of God. I mean, all we can think of is time, can we not? Because we're creatures of time. And so the only thing we can think of is that it's a long time. And such it should be, because the scripture says in the ages to come. Now, as far as God's concerned, are there any ages? I mean, God doesn't age. He is. But you see, in the ages to come. Now, I don't know what all will occur in the ages to come, but I do know this, that in the ages to come, those people who are in Jesus Christ are going to be set forth as the trophies of His grace to magnify His glory. What a wondrous thing. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. From henceforth, even forever. He surrounds them. And you know, when you go up to the mountains, I have been up to the mountains of Tennessee and North Carolina. And as you look, and I've been to see the mountains in Hawaii. I mean, it's an amazing thing because it's nothing but a big volcano, I guess, that, you know, that the island is surrounds all these different volcanoes and stuff, ancient volcanoes. And it's just one big rock. And as you look, everywhere you look, that's what you can't escape looking at those rocks. You can't be in Hawaii and not look and see the mountains except you look to the ocean. You're either going to see the ocean or the mountain. You can't get away from it. And as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. They can't escape. Now that's a glorious thing, is it not? To know that we are held in the hand of the Lord according to his mercy, and we cannot be plucked out. He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. We can't even pluck ourselves out. You know, I'm glad that the Lord is the only one that has a free will. Because if that was left up to me, I would choose not to follow the Lord. That's what my so-called free will has led me to my whole life, is away from the Lord. Only by the mercy of God is a man caused to come to the Lord. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people even forever, and he keeps them. They cannot escape. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Now listen to this. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Now, the lot of the righteous is the, insert the word fate into that. In other words, that's our lot in life. And the scripture says here that the rod of the wicked, that is the dominion of the wicked, shall not sit upon the people of God. Can't do it. That's not what they are ordained unto. We're ordained unto what? Good works. I mean, the Lord has before ordained that we should walk therein. That's what the scripture says. And so it is that the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon that which God has ordained for the people. God's people cannot be brought under the dominion of that which the Lord has set them free from. Well, listen to this, because he says that won't happen lest, because he says, because of their nature. See, we don't serve the Lord by our nature. We serve the Lord because the Spirit of God dwells in us. Right. By nature, what are we? The children of wrath, even as others. I mean, we're not a speck different from any man on the earth. The only reason that we would trust the Lord or desire to obey the Lord is because of the mercy of God having caused us to do that by the indwelling of his Spirit. You must be born again. And the Spirit of God dwells in the people of God and constrains them. And he says here, the rod of the wicked will not rest upon the people of God lest they put forth their hands to iniquity. See, I mean, if the Lord left us to ourselves, what would we do? We would go right back and be destroyed. But because he's merciful, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth. Now, you know, the Scripture is a very practical book. Men, you know, men take the grace of God and they will turn it into lasciviousness by nature. I mean, that's the path men always go down by nature. It's because God surrounds us with mercy, the flesh says, well, oh, well, that sounds good. I can't escape from the Lord, so I'll go out here and serve the flesh. Well, there are some who do so. But what they prove themselves to be are those who never knew the way of God. And they are those whom the Lord will say in that day, though they say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? And he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. People of God are not called to sin. People are not of God are not called to lasciviousness. People of God are not called to corruption. People of God are called unto cleanness. Now, the Lord didn't set me up before you to define every jot and tittle of what that has reference to. But I can tell you this, that God's people are called to walk in paths of holiness. He said, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. I mean, why would the sons of God desire to walk in the darkness? He said, don't be yoked with unbelievers. Don't be walking with those who hate the way of God. Why would we? How could we? I mean, if the Spirit of God dwells in us, does he not constrain us unto that end? When we read in the Scripture, mortify therefore the deeds of the flesh, do we say, oh, well, that's not, I'm not going to do that. No, we know that is the right way, do we not? And we lament the fact that we are not more moved in our heart to do so. But we know that is the right way. How do we know that? Because the Spirit of God teaches us. And the Spirit of God gives us desire to walk in that way. The Spirit of God teaches us how far from that perfection we are. You know, that man that thinks he's being, is daily getting closer to perfection is the man that's the furthest from it. Because when you start to see yourself as making some progress, brother, you missed the boat. Our progress is Christ. And only as a man is brought to trust in Christ as his righteousness is he walking in the way. I mean, as long as a man's thinking he's doing something that's earning him favor with God, he's actually walking in error. All of our righteousness is found in Christ. And the righteousness which is found in Christ is that which constrains us to walk as Christ walked. I mean, that's what Peter said, did he not? That he walked and we are to walk in his steps. May the Lord give us grace to do so. For such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. So that, you see, the Lord, as Brother Al pointed out very clearly, the Lord makes a difference between his people and those who are not his people. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Now, the Lord will cause a separation to occur between his people and the people of the world. Now, different people have different ideas about how that's manifested, and I fully understand that. But I know this, that the Lord causes his people to love righteousness, to love his way, to read his word and seek to emulate the things that are in this word. Now, the Lord has given to every man a measure of faith. In other words, a measure of understanding. We're not all the same, but we all have the same faith, which is Christ. Now, our measure of understanding Christ may vary by a great deal. But Christ himself, who is our faith, does not. And it is in him that we seek to walk. The Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But listen to this, but peace shall be upon Israel. The Lord said, my peace give I unto you. The Lord gives peace to his people because he calls them to rest in him. And so that the further that a man goes in this life, I remember this one time, Brother Dale Hammonds, we used to meet before some meetings to pray. And we'd all get together and pray. And there was this one old gentleman that was really a godly man. I mean, the Lord had blessed him and brought him, taught him some things. And I remember, of course, we were just ignorant. I still am, but more ignorant then than now. But I remember Brother Dale Hammonds asking Brother Dykes, whom we considered to be a real godly man. He said, Brother Dykes, he says, doesn't it get easier to follow the Lord the older that you get? He said, Dale, he said, the older you get, the harder it is. And you know, that puzzled us all at the time, but I understand it. Because what he came to understand, that there is absolutely no righteousness in us. And all of our righteousness is in Christ. And if we get to thinking that somehow or other we're going to be better next year than we are this year, then we're missing the boat. Because Christ is our righteousness. And oh, that the Spirit of God might give us the peace that passeth understanding, which is to flee to Christ, to be done with religiosity. You know, religion has killed more people than anything else in the earth. The Lord told Pharisees that very thing. He said, search the scriptures. He said, there it is here. Take the Bible, read it. He said, you think you got eternal life because you're reading this Bible, but he said, they are they which testify of me. Brethren, from the lips of our Lord, he said, this word testifies of him. Everything that we're taught in this word brings glory to him. And he would have us to bring glory to him. Oh, that he might work in us his perfect work. And oh, that he might cause us to tremble when we think about what we are by nature. You know, if you're not dissatisfied with who you are by nature, then I don't believe you've been born again. Because as the Spirit of God teaches you what you are, he causes you to look to Christ. Because he's our righteousness. He's our hope. He's our Savior. In him we trust. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. May the Lord help us and teach us and lead us to that one rock which is higher than I. He's always higher than I. Some people think they can get to a place where they can kind of just sit down with him across the kitchen table and just, you know, they're just there with him. Well, that's not the way it is. He's higher than I. And we look to him. We desire to be like him. To walk like he walked. To talk like he talked. When men revile us, do not revile again. You know, just when you think that you're getting a handle upon your temper or your You know, you think, well, man, I'm making a little progress here.
Sinfulness.
Yeah. The Lord will show you just how far you've come. You know, somebody will cut you off in traffic, and the first thing that comes into your mind, you know, is not to pray for them that despitefully use you, is it? No. Christ is our righteousness. May we be found in Him.